Richard, you've had a very busy time recently. Not only were you the minister of a large and busy congregation in Connor, but for some considerable time you were also convener of a vacancy in another large congregation, which happily you brought successfully to the stage that these congregations are at this evening. Within a few days you were saying farewell to your assistant minister, whom his mother reminded me I baptized 30-something years ago. He'll not thank me for that either, no doubt. And to your beloved folk in Connor. A few days after that, you together with Lynn and Andrew were following your furniture to Bendura. What a few weeks you've had. Richard, I would like to be among the first to congratulate you on being installed as minister of these two congregations. You have our prayers and our good wishes as you continue to enjoy the greatest privilege that is ever afforded to any human being, to be a minister of Jesus Christ. This is an exciting occasion for you especially, but also for Lynn and Andrew, and maybe a bit unnerving too. I know it's also an exciting occasion for these two congregations who have looked forward patiently, I have to say, to this night when they can welcome you among them. I asked myself as I thought about this service a few days ago, would I like to be in the position that you're in tonight? And I came without hesitation to the conclusion that if I were at your age and your stage in life, then I certainly would. It's almost 35 years since I first responded, as you did again this evening, to the questions that have been put to you by the moderator, albeit they have changed somewhat in recent days. But the longer I have been in the ministry, the more hesitant I am about discharging this kind of responsibility that has been placed upon me here this evening. And I've had to do it over the years on a few occasions. You're a man who already has significant experience in Christian ministry. And you will have proved on many occasions, I'm sure, your constant need for and awareness of the grace of God in fulfilling your calling in the various spheres in which you have labored. You will remember that Paul urged Timothy to keep reminding the people to whom he would preach of what we would regard as the essence of the gospel. And it remains the first duty of every Christian, and not least every minister of Jesus Christ, to do just that. Paul reminded Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. In Matthew 25, with a parallel passage in Luke 19, we find the parable of the talents, or as Luke calls it, the 10 minas. It's a parable that is much more to teach us than we will be able to explore on this occasion. However, it is just one short phrase that I want to address, especially to you, but also to the folk who will labour with you in these two congregations. It's in verse 13 of Luke 19. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 minas. And for interest, a mina would have been the equivalent in those days of about 3 months' wages. And he said to them, occupy till I come. Or my own preference, the ESV version, engage in business until I come. Here are the important words. Engage in business until I come. Richard, let me invite you to consider afresh the implications of such words in the context of service for the Lord Jesus in our world today. And I know that just a week ago you were preaching a charge similar, no doubt, to this in its content. This is what we are to speak about. And Jesus addresses this in the form of a parable. Engage in business, he says, until I come. There are one or two things to notice about that. I think we're to remember what God calls us to be, a minister of the gospel. The code of our church helpfully, I think, defines what we are called to be as ministers of word and sacrament. You will be familiar with it, but probably most of the folk gathered here tonight will not. I've been challenged afresh by it, even at my stage of ministry. In paragraph 80 and subparagraphs 1 to 3, we read these challenging words. The special calling of the minister is the ministry of the word, in public and in private, the conduct of public worship, the administration of the sacraments, the instruction of the young, and the pastoral care of souls. For the performance of these duties, he shall be ordained by presbytery as a minister in the Catholic or Universal Church, and shall be responsible to the presbytery, having oversight of his ministry. Hence this service this evening. The minister should be a man of faith, dedication, and good judgment, well trained and equipped for his work. His manner of life should be a demonstration of the Christian gospel, both within and outside the church. The minister's calling is exercised in the service of others. This should be done in partnership with the whole company of believers, each having his own gifts and making his own contribution, in the spirit of brotherhood, and never as Lord over another's faith. End of quotation. Hence, as a congregation this evening, you may now better understand the questions that were put to Richard just a little while ago. Brother, that remains a very fine statement, and you will travel far to find a better definition of what those of us who are referred to as ministers are called to be and to do. Now, there are numerous duties mentioned there to which we are to give attention. But while all of those duties continue to be discharged with greater or lesser diligence from place to place and from minister to minister, let me highlight one of those duties, which I fear is suffering to some degree of complacency, if not neglect, in our society in these days, and that is the preaching of the word. I sat in a pew on occasions, especially when I've been on holiday or had a Sunday off, and in some places, sadly, there was little meaningful preaching or application of the word of God. And such as there was at best superficial. On occasions, I came away with my ears full of music, good and all as it was, but my heart and mind still hungry for the bread of life. And on occasions when I have visited a place more than once, perhaps a number of years apart, I have observed to myself, this place didn't used to be like that. The late George Philip, once minister of Sandyford Henderson Church in Glasgow, commenting on 1 Timothy, says this, "Doctrine matters, and wrong doctrine leads to wrong motives and wrong behaviour. Sermons are not to be voted on and assessed, but listened to, because the ministry of the word is a God-appointed means of grace. Of course, the minister, above all, must agree with and hold to the sound words of the faith. He does not have a free remit. He is a servant of and must be subordinate to the word. If a man's teaching is true to God's word, the result will be men and women who are centered in God and living lives of godliness." I like that, and I'm sure you do too. When Jesus calls us, brother, to engage in business until I come, it's clear that prominent among the activities in which we are to be engaged is the preaching of the word. So important is that duty that you will know that Paul reminds Timothy of it on numerous occasions in his letters to him. He tells him to keep reminding those that he in turn is preparing for service for Jesus of the truth of it. After all, it is still through the foolishness of preaching, as Paul says elsewhere, that God is pleased to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And that has to be the supreme duty of our occupation. I'm reading a book in which the author challengingly says, when God had something important to say to Israel, he didn't send the praise band. He sent a preacher. And there's merit, I think, in reminding ourselves of that. Richard, however long you're privileged to serve as a minister, I'm sure we're agreed that it is the gospel of Christ that remains the power of God unto salvation. And we remain persuaded that the most effective way of proclaiming the gospel is through preaching. Remember what God calls you to be, a preacher. Never stoop to be anything else. And then I think, secondly, we need to remember what God called you to do. Engage in business until I come. Now, what is this business? Doing what? Preparing and delivering sermons, yes, part of the time. But there is more to being a good minister of Jesus Christ, and you know that. Do you remember those other duties that are part of the ministry that we read from the code a moment or two ago? Yes, the ministry of the word in public and in private. The conduct of public worship, which you will have the privilege of commencing here on the coming Lord's Day, and I will get a Sunday off. The administration of the sacraments, the instruction of the young, and the pastoral care of souls. You're to engage yourself in these other duties too. Richard, the reason I have been entrusted with this privilege tonight, and it is a privilege, is because to some degree I've had the privilege of getting to know these people to whom God has called you to be their minister. I know that you have a heart for people. I know that you get on easily and well with people. You have an easy and relaxed manner about you. The product of years, the years that you've already been in ministry, and the experience you've already gained. All of that will make people feel at ease with you and under your ministry. That will stand you in good stead around this part of North Antrim. That is, of course, once you master the language. And it's harder than around Kells, let me tell you. Social workers, however well trained and competent they may be, cannot do what we have been called to do. And maybe we and our congregations need to be reminded from time to time that social work, important in all as it is not what we are to be primarily about. Richard, remember what God called you to do, to engage in business until he comes. And then thirdly, remember with whom God calls you to do it. Anyone engaged in full-time ministry knows that while the buck often stops with us, and it certainly does, in terms of responsibility to the courts of the church, nevertheless, it's not all about us. Where would we be without the folk who are committed to prayer and eager to work for the cause of Christ in our congregations? Richard, you will find people here who know what it is to pray and who are committed to doing that on a very regular basis. You will quickly discover, as I have, that while prayer is offered for all the needs that people have, prominent among those prayers will be asking God most of all for the salvation of their souls. The priorities are right. You will discover too that there are those who are equally committed to work and to witness for the Lord here and indeed elsewhere in every way within their power, using their God-given gifts, fully employing them on a day-by-day basis, firstly for his glory and then for the good of his church and our fellow man. I've seen it firsthand over the period of this vacancy. I've seen a level of commitment and dedication from people of all ages that in my mind and in my experience is second to none. Under your leadership, there are, in my view, very fruitful days ahead in this part of the world. A charge, of course, is not only to a minister, but it's to a congregation as well. Let me add a few sentences, especially to you folk in Drumrea and Drumore. God has graciously heard and abundantly answered your prayers. You rightly asked God for a minister who would be his choice. And God has answered your prayers. But this is where the future begins. Your task is not done with Richard's installation tonight. Quite the contrary. It's really just beginning. Together you must press forward the work of God's kingdom in this area and in this district in which he has placed you. Give God and your minister the very best that you have to give in terms of service. There's much yet to be done in practical terms. You'll want to see your building project completed with the erection of halls to complement this excellent building in which we worship this evening. And I don't think I've ever preached or conducted worship in a building more suited to this purpose. But parallel to that, you will want to assist the Lord in seeing his kingdom built up in this area through the salvation of souls and the upbuilding of believers in their most holy faith. In these early days, friends in this area, give your minister and his family time to get to know you. You will know them instantly because there's only one of each of them. But with you lot, it's altogether a bigger task for them, as I have discovered over this past while. Help them to settle among you by loving and respecting them in the Lord from day one. I know that you will do that, for you have been most warm and welcoming to me, and I'll ever appreciate that. Maybe most importantly, make sure that Richard, Lynn and Andrew are in your prayers daily, especially in these early days of settling in. And when they've begun to settle, don't stop. Keep on praying for them. Remember the task in which Richard is to be occupied for the Lord until the Lord returns is the same task to which all who know and love the Lord Jesus should equally be committed. May the grace of God bless you and prosper you in these days, and may all you do be to his glory, and may he be blessed and praised through your service for him. Let's pray.